Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. My name is John Tatum, and I'm the youth director here. And if this is your first time ever here, please don't let tonight be your deciding factor if you're going to come to church here or not. Please come back, because we have some pretty awesome pastors here, and Pastor Jesse will be in the house on Sunday, and it's going to be awesome. The first time I ever came to church here, we walked in, really didn't know what church was about, and we sat down, my wife and I, and there was this really energetic lady screaming into a microphone, and I'm like, I could come back to this. So we came back and been here ever since. That was like, I don't know, 9 years ago, something like that. But I'm honored to be able to come in here and preach to you guys tonight. The youth are in here tonight. Let's give them a hand clap. They're all over the room here. They're some together, some not. I love those guys. I'm going to pick on them tonight a little bit, so I'm glad y'all came in here for that. But tonight I want to talk to you. First of all, I had this whole bit played out right. I was going to come out here. I was going to do this funny thing about snoring, because it's like a hot topic right now in our house, snoring. And like, I was going to come out here, I was going to talk about like who snores in here, you know, and I was going to make a crack at the husbands and things like that. And I was going to talk about how when someone records you snoring, you still deny that it's you. You're like, I don't know who that is. It's not me. And I got this whole thing played out, right? And I'm going to come out here. It's going to be great. I talked to Tabitha about it last night. My wife, I was like, I'm going to do a bit about snoring. It's got nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, but I'm going to come out and I'm going to do a bit about snoring. And then today, I go home for lunch. I fall asleep. And I wake myself up snoring. I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I can't. It's out the window. I was going to deny that I snored. And I woke up and she said, you just woke yourself up snoring. I'm like, that was my material. I got nothing. So y'all bear with me. I put something together. But no, tonight I want to talk to you about what's God asking you to do. What's God asking you to do? And I want to read a portion of the Bible that comes out of Luke chapter 19, and it's verses 28 through 40. And they're going to put it up on the screen here, but if you have a Bible, you're more than welcome to keep me honest and follow along. I'm reading the NLT version. It reads like this. After telling this story, Jesus went towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethphage, you know, we make these words up half the time, and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in his highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, God, to be able to come into your house, to glorify you, to worship you, Father. You are most worthy of the praise, and that no one can measure your greatness, God. We thank you for all the blessings that we receive. We thank you for your word that's a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, God. God, I just thank you for this church and everything it represents. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen. So About 8 years ago, like I said before, we started to come to church here. We sat in the back by the infamous pole back there and really fell in love with this place and really got involved, started like really know, like understanding what it meant to tithe and give to the house. And as we started to give to the house, the Lord really started to bless us. I really got into the Word, started digging into the Word, and I read where King David said that he, the one thing he wished for, the one thing he hoped the most is he could dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. I read this and I'm like, man, this is what I want, God. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I had never really been involved in church. I was more on the construction side of life. And that's the field that I knew, but I'm like, man, I feel it. That is exactly what I want. So I had a job opportunity, got involved here at church, blessing after blessing. And I'm like, man, you know, I hear people talking about these blessings, but I've never really ever experienced them. So I get this job opportunity. It's a blessing. It's right in my field. It's at a high management level. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I came to Pastor Brian. I was like, Pastor Brian, what should I do? And he's like, I think you should fast. And I'm like, look, you know, I mean, I can run, but like, what is that? He's like, no, no, no. And he explained to me what fasting was. So for the first time ever, I fasted, and I was like a Coke addict, and I'm like laying in my living room floor like, this is not worth it, and I made it through it, and really felt the Lord like speaking to me and saying, hey, you know, this is an opportunity for you. This is an opportunity I want you to take. So I took the job, and what I didn't know then, it's the unknown. We hate the unknown. God, he doesn't operate in the unknown. He knows. And it's like, man, I don't know what to expect over there. So I go over there, I get this job, and it opens up all this opportunity for me to be able to serve in the house of the Lord. They gave me much more free time. I could come and go in this job as I wanted, so I had more opportunity to be here. Pastor Brian's like, are we paying you? Why are you here so much? And I'm just like, I love it here, and give me a job. So finally, I wrestled him, and he hires me, but We get this new job, and I had never had a house with two bathrooms. Never. Growing up, never had a house with two bathrooms. Once you get a house with two bathrooms, you can never go back. It's not an option, right? You know, it's like, hey, this awesome house, you would love it. Has it got two bathrooms? Nah. Oh, nah. Oh, it's free? Nah. It ain't got two bathrooms. So we're like, I see my future. I'm like, I got a wife. I got a daughter. I'm going to be quickly outnumbered. I'm going to have to start scheduling my bathroom time, you know, like 2 a.m. This is not good. So we're like believing for this house. Like, hey, let's sell this house. Let's, you know, we're financially stable now. Let's get this house. So we start looking at these homes and everything. And my wife's like, I know exactly the house that we're supposed to have. I'm like, what? She's like, it is 3 stories, a basement, a main level, all the bedrooms upstairs. I'm like, honey, like, I don't think we can afford a house like that. She's like, no, the Lord has told me, has shown me this house. I'm like, it is not, there's no way. So he's looking, I bet we looked at every house in Owensboro, and she finds this house built in the 1940s. I'm a construction guy. I'm thinking old house, big problems, right? So I'm like, nah. And finally she's like, come on, go look at it. We looked at every house. So we go look at this house. Absolutely beautiful. We fall in love with it. Make an offer. We get it. The Lord really pulled through. And I mean, it was blessing after blessing. Like, we get a phone call. Hey, sorry, you're going to have to pay another $6,000. Like, we don't have $6,000. We went from having to pay $6,000 to showing up at closing and them giving us money. Like, hey, you paid too much. And also, we want to give you this just for your trouble. So it's like, oh, praise the Lord. God is so good. Well, we get into this house and we were absolutely in love. We could entertain people. It had 2 bathrooms, you know. I'm just like, this is awesome. And we just absolutely loved it. Tabitha was like, this is my dream home, you know. It's like when I was growing up, my grandma had a house like this. I'm like, yes, this is our, I'm going to say it, this is our forever home. Yeah, it's never happens, right? So I'm like, this is our forever home. You know, we never have to do this again. And then I'm praying one day, and God's like, sell the house. And I'm like, you're breaking up, God. I don't have good service here. He's like, sell the house. I'm like, but it's the house. He's like, sell the house. I'm like, look, I got to go home and tell my wife this. Like, this is her place. So I go home, I walk in, I'm like, babe. She's like, yeah. I'm like, look, God spoke to me today. She's like, oh, really? Yeah, what? Oh, I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to say it. He told me to sell the house. And she, you know, I'm thinking she's going to be like, are you kidding me? This is our forever home. I love this house. She's like, praise the Lord. And I'm like, what? She's like, he told me like 3 months ago. I'm like, what? She's like, he told me 3 months ago, and I made such a big deal about this house. I told him the only way you were going to believe me is if he told you himself. So I'm like, what? Let's do it. So we sell this beautiful home. We love it. We often drive by, you know, it's like, hey, there's our house. And we, you know, and it leads to the house that we're in now, and just blessing, doors have opened up. It made us even more financially stable, so where I could leave one career and enter into ministry. And, you know, just when you look back and you see all the things that God does, you know, if you would just obey what he's asking you to do, what he's asking, hey, I'm going to ask you to do this, because God isn't a what's in it for me type God, but he is a God that says, hey, I know what you want. You want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. But I'm going to get you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to get you into a place that you really don't want to be, because I'm going to send you to even more uncomfortable places. So we sell this house. We get this house. And 2 bathrooms, please. The Lord, whatever house we move into next, 2 bathrooms. So we find a house. We actually pray, God, what house would you have us live in? He's telling us to sell the house. What house would you have us live in? We're like, when you want something from God, just be honest, be clear. God, I want to abundantly know, clearly know, without a doubt, that this is the house. So we've looked at every house. We walk into this house. Immediately, the presence of God hits. She goes one direction. I go the other. We meet in the second bathroom. Like, oh my gosh. I was like, and like at the same time, she's like, did you feel that? Did you experience that? I'm like, I felt it as soon as we walked in. And she was like, this is the house. And the realtor we had, you know, we had looked at every house. He was just like, all right, take your time, like 5 minutes, like this is it. He was like, what? And, you know, we told him, hey, the presence of the Lord is in this house, this is his house. So now we have it. And it just really set up the stepping stones for us to really live the life that God has called us to live, been calling us to live for a long time. And just by honoring the steps that God had laid out before us, now I get to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And it seems like sometimes I am here all the days of my life. And I often, when I'm here at midnight and I'm like, man, I'm still here, God's like, remember all the days of your life. You asked for it. Yes. Thank you for humbling me, Lord. But in this story, we see Jesus tell 2 disciples, hey, I need you to go over to that village over there and get that low mileage, mint condition, showroom floor donkey. And I need you to bring it back to me. So sure enough, they go, there's the donkey, there's the owner. What are you doing with my donkey? They go back. Jesus gets his triumphant entrance. That's what this is. It's a prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. Jesus rides the donkey into Jerusalem, and we see all these things, all these stepping stones that God had placed, and we see 3 men being obedient and trusting God. And there's 3 what I like to call reality checks that reading this story I pulled out. The first one is God goes before us. And in verse 28, it says, and this is kind of symbolic to me. In verse 28, it says, after telling the story, Jesus went towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. God goes before us. Whatever God's asking you to do, whatever God's calling you to do, you can be assured that he has already went before you. He has already went before you, has already prepared that place. He has already set up that divine connection. He has already put everything in place. So you don't have to be afraid of the unknown, because God operates in the known and he knows exactly how things are going to unfold. All you have to do is trust and obey God. God had already went before the 2 disciples. He had already prepared the place, already set up the donkey, already set up the owner of the donkey. But oftentimes when I'm reading the Bible, I like to read it thinking, man, what is going through this dude's head right now? And I look at these two disciples and I'm like, man, what's going through their heads right now? Obviously, we know that God set up this divine connection between the two disciples and the donkey owner because Jesus isn't into Grand Theft Auto, right? There's no scripture in the Bible that says Jesus steals low mileage donkeys, but these disciples don't know that. So can you imagine what they're thinking? They're walking, this walk probably seems like forever to them, they're walking. And one of them says to the other, can you believe we're going to do this? And this is totally fiction. It's not biblical. Don't go home and be like, hey, you know, these two disciples had this conversation. This disciple's like, can you believe we're going to do this? Do what? Steal this donkey. Are you kidding me? This is Jesus we're talking about. We're not stealing a donkey. He said, if anyone asks you what you're doing. He didn't say someone would ask you. He said, if anyone asks what you're doing with this donkey, just tell them the Lord needs it. That sounds like a Mentos commercial. Remember the Mentos commercials where people would find themselves in a predicament and they'd pull out Mentos and all of a sudden they'd get a force field around them and every secret of the earth was downloaded in them and everything was okay. They'd pull out the Mentos, pop one, everything's good. Everyone would laugh. I read this like this is a Mentos commercial. They're stealing a donkey, pulling out some Mentos, and everything's perfectly fine. And then you look at the donkey owner, you look at his perspective. Obviously, God had already went before them. God had already talked to the donkey owner. God had already set it up because he willingly permitted the donkey to go by them just saying the Lord needs it. But come on, even if God manifested himself in front of me and said, somebody's coming after your donkey, I see somebody after my donkey, I'm yelling. I don't think he calmly asked, why are you untying my donkey? He probably shouted, why are you untying my donkey? They freaked out, said the Lord needs it. Mentos, he was like, it's great. He said, his name's Mentos. And they took it back to Jesus and the story plays out. Second thing, one major thing I see in the story is they are 100% human. So when you relate yourself to this, you are 100% human. So you can act just like these people did in the Bible by freaking out when someone is untying your donkey. I don't know, are there any donkey owners in here? Chris, Garrett, you got a donkey? No? Ohio County. Figured, donkey owner. Second reality check I see in this. We rarely get recognized for the things we do for God. I know, it's tough. Man, we want a platform. We want people to recognize. We want people to see what we're doing. And oftentimes, ministry and things that God's calling us to do aren't really glamorous. And they're not really going to get us recognition. They're not really going to get our name plastered really big. You know, I often think about it like any Seinfeld fans in here? Got any Seinfeld fans? Love Seinfeld, right? The Big Salad. I paid for the Big Salad. When George buys the big salad for Elaine and the woman he's with gives the salad to Elaine and doesn't give George the recognition he deserves, he freaks out. I paid for the big salad. Next time you see somebody acting like that, you should just yell, I paid for the big salad. But for this prophecy to be fulfilled, it comes out of Zechariah 9:9. For it to be fulfilled, it took the trust and obedience of three men. Took the trust and obedience of three people. God can give us the opportunity. God can place the thing in front of us. God can put the calling in our heart. But guess what? He gave us free will. And it's up to us to choose whether we're going to accept the calling, where we're going to take the opportunity or not. So this donkey owner, yes, God told him, hey, somebody's coming after your donkey. But he could have willingly chose to say no. He could have said, no, you're not taking my donkey. These two disciples, most of Jesus' disciples were kids, were young people, like high schoolers, maybe late middle schoolers, what we would consider high schoolers and late middle schoolers now. And I don't know if you've ever asked a young person to do something, but that's a pretty big task. Hey, go over to that town and get me that donkey. I take all these students on trips, and we have some amazing leaders, and I'm going to pick on the boys for a second. We go, we get these houses in Gatlinburg, they're awesome. We're going, hey, find your rooms, make your beds, do all that stuff, and then, you know, we'll get settled in. You go to the girls' floor, pristine. They've got their beds made. They got all their stuff unpacked. You go to the boys' floor, it's like something out of Mad Max. I'm like, guys, The air mattresses are for sleeping on, not beating each other with. Now they're like, oh, I didn't know that. So these two young men just got this huge responsibility from God to go get this donkey. They could have easily been distracted. They could have got there and said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. Fear could have entered into them. But anything could happen. It took the trust and the obedience of three men for this prophecy to be fulfilled. And each one of them, each one of these guys, played an important role in the ministry of Jesus. The triumphant entry of Jesus is a defining moment in his ministry. And these three guys, boys, men, however the Bible doesn't say how old they are, they each played a significant role. The donkey was a sign of peace. Kings would ride them in as a sign of peace, saying, hey, they come to in peace. They didn't come to conquer. Jesus was riding this donkey in to show that he did not come to judge, but he come to save. He didn't come to conquer, but he come to redeem. And each one of these men made it absolutely possible for Jesus to be able to ride into this town on this donkey, into Jerusalem on this donkey. Yet never are their names mentioned in the Bible. We don't know who they are. They don't get recognized for this very important task in the Bible, very important story. They don't even get recognized. Their names, we know them as extras in movie, disciple one, disciple two, donkey owner. That's all we know them as. But yet they had a significant role. They each had, each one of their roles was just as important as the next. Don't let anybody in life tell you that your calling with God isn't important. The same anointing was on all three of them, God's anointing. No matter where you serve in this church, no matter what calling God has placed on you, the same anointing is on you. If you clean the toilets here at church, the same anointing is on you that is on the people that come up and lay hands and pray for people. It's the same anointing. It's the same importance. We are building the kingdom of God, and each role is just as important. So don't let anyone ever tell you that what you're doing for God is less important than what they're doing. It is all equal. It is all very significant in the ministry of Jesus, in the gospel. You are worth something, and you are capable of doing it, and I know it. I believe it. And the things that we do for God aren't to glorify ourselves. We don't do these things to glorify ourselves. These three men didn't go get this donkey to glorify themselves. They did it to glorify Jesus. They did it to point praise to Jesus. They did it to increase Jesus. The Bible says that we should decrease so that God can increase. So each opportunity that we receive from God is an opportunity for us to decrease, for us to get smaller so that God can get bigger, so that God can be magnified, so that God can be praised. And oftentimes, when God calls you to something, guess what he's calling you to do? Something uncomfortable. Something you don't want to do. I didn't want to sell that house. We didn't want to sell that house. But God was calling us to something that we didn't want to do. If you don't want to do it, if you feel, man, I think God's telling me to do something, I don't want to do it. It's probably God. Because if you don't want to do it, that means it's your flesh getting in the way of what God has called you to do. But God knows you. God believes in you. He believes in your ability. He believes that you're worth something. He believes, he knows exactly who you were created to be because he was there with you when you were formed in the womb. And if you would live in the confidence that is the worth that God has given you, is the importance that God has given you, that's when mountains begin to move. That's when the enemy begins to shrink down. That's when the kingdom of God is beginning to flourish. When we all operate in what God's called us to operate in, and he's called us to operate in greatness. My prayer for you, church, is that you would see what God sees, how great you really are. Each person in here plays a pivotal role in the kingdom of God. Each and every person in here is blessed. Each and every person in here is capable of doing much more than what the world tells you you can do. You are capable of so much. And you can do so much in the eyes of God, and God is calling you to something great. All you have to do is trust and be obedient to what he's calling you to do. The third and final thing that I have, reality checkpoint, is our trust and obedience gives opportunity for praise and worship for someone else. Our trust and obedience in what God's calling us to do gives the opportunity for somebody else to praise and worship God. And many might ask, well, if these three people didn't do this, If these three people didn't give the donkey, if these two boys didn't go get the donkey, somebody else would have stepped up. How do we know that? How can we answer that? If Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse wouldn't have answered the calling to God to come to Owensboro, Kentucky and plant a church, how do we know somebody else would have? How do we know that the thousands and thousands of souls that have been saved in this place, in this church, would have been saved if Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse wouldn't have answered the calling? We don't know that. We have to treat each opportunity, we have to treat each thing that God places in front of us as if we're the only ones that are going to do it. If we don't do it, maybe nobody else will. I have to do this. I have to answer this calling. I have to step into this opportunity because I'm the only one that's going to go get the donkey for Jesus so that he can ride into this town and he can drastically change people's minds. I have to believe that I'm the only one. Each person that we come in contact with in life, we have to think of it as I'm the only person that's going to tell them about Jesus. Imagine if we changed our mind and we thought that each person that passes by, we were the only people that were going to tell them about Jesus. If I don't tell that person about Jesus, they're never going to know what he did for them. If we changed our mind, how many more people would we reach? I know if I did it, I would reach a lot more than I do. I know that I would be less uncomfortable than I am approaching a stranger. Come on, yeah, I'm up here with a mic and talking to you, but that's me holding a mic talking to a whole bunch of people. If we can do that, I'm great. One person, it's a lot different. It's a lot different when you get real and you get serious with one single person. But if we change our mind and say, I'm the only person that can do this, we can change people's lives on a level that is beyond our imagination. A lot of people don't enter into God's calling or opportunity because of the thought of, what if people don't respond? What if people don't respond like I think they're going to? The great thing about it is, they don't have to. The great thing about it is all we have to do is trust and be obedient to the thing that God's calling us to because the outcome is the will of God. That's God's will. We pray, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All we got to do is be obedient. Step into that thing and God will orchestrate the outcome. He will make sure the outcome is exactly the outcome he wanted. And we have to believe that even if people don't respond, that God will make the rocks shout out and cheer. Even if people stand silent because we are standing up preaching the word of God, we have to believe that God will make an inanimate object shout out and scream his name. Because somebody is going to do it. It might as well be us. We might as well be the ones. We might as well be the ones stepping in the opportunity. So I ask you, what is God asking you to do? I encourage you to trust him. I encourage you to believe in what he's asking you to do because there is a blessing on the other side of your opportunity, not just for you. It's not just for you. It's for everybody else. Not only will you receive the blessing and the opportunity, not only did this donkey owner receive a blessing, but all the people in Jerusalem that seen Jesus riding in on that donkey, they received the blessing. We receive a blessing. We get to be a blessing when we enter into the calling that God has called us to. I think of opportunity. I think of a story in the Bible where John and Peter were walking through the beautiful gate and there was a paralyzed man standing there and he asked him for money. And Peter said, man, I'm not going to give you any money, but I'm going to give you what I have. Stand up and walk. This man stands up and walks and he begins to run around. He begins to shout. He begins to praise. He begins to worship God. And all these people see him and they say, man, that's the paralyzed man. He's running around and he's shouting. He's different. Something's different about him. They recognize that. And the Bible says that Peter, this is in Acts chapter 3, the Bible says that Peter seen his opportunity. He seen his opportunity, began to preach the gospel. Began to preach the word of God, began to preach the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that 5,000 people came to know who Jesus was because of that, because Peter seen his opportunity. Whatever God's asking you to do, I promise you, you are capable of it. Whatever God is pushing you to do, I encourage you, step into it because there is blessing on the other side. All those things that you've been asking God for, all those things that you've been seeking after, man, they're right there. They're right there. God's already given them to you. Bible says we've already received them. When we ask for it, we've already received it. We can be a people of opportunity. We can pray, we can believe and be focused that we would see God's opportunity and that we would run towards the things that we once ran from. I'm believing us at River City Church can be that type of people. We can be that type of community where we go out. We're about to do an outreach on September the 22nd. Come on, you want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. There's no better way than loving on your community. Getting out in the community and saying, hey, this isn't about River City Church. This isn't about me as an individual. This is God. I got up here one time and I was asked to give the altar call. I got up here. Stepped right out there, completely forgot what I was going to say. It's blank. Terrifying moment, right? You know, like, oh my gosh, this isn't happening right now. Blank. Nothing. I'm pretty sure I said God is tough when I was fumbling words. God's tough. Like this very Old Testament of you, John. But I'm like, I reboot. I pray and I'm thinking to myself, man, ain't nobody gonna answer this altar call. I just completely destroyed a moment in the presence of God. I said, man, if you're in here and you need God, raise your hand. My hand started going up all over the room. I realized in that moment, it ain't me. It ain't about me. I got nothing to do with it. I get up here and read my grocery list. I preach the gospel, man, people are gonna answer it. People are gonna fall into that opportunity. I'm believing that God's giving you an opportunity. If you would pray and say, man, God, let me see the opportunity and enter into it, you'll go places that you never thought you could go. If everybody could stand up, let me pray for you. I'm out of time. Father, I pray for this community, God, this church, Owensboro, God. I pray that we would be a people of opportunity, Father, that we would see your opportunity. God, we would answer your calling, that we would go and get your donkey for you, Father, that we would be the people that gave the donkey. That we would grow your kingdom and that it would be less about us and all about you, God. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Father, we love you. We thank you for this moment. Thank you for your house. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen, amen.